Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app to listen to The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, early and ad-free.
Previously on The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
We made it!
You overpromised, but this over-delivered.
We can tell Sheila is a bad girl because she's chewing gum.
Sheila stabbed a teacher.
Spike's really fucking hot regularly.
And also, as a vampire.
You're gonna murder me? That's so hot.
That is Drusilla. She wanders in, and she is always in a state of, like, NyQuil.
She's a fucking psycho, and I'm obsessed with her.
Someone's in the ceiling.
Tweed motherfucking magic.
Those hips don't lie. They almost flew off the hinges.
You taste like sunshine dust.
Spike turns around. He's all vamped out, and in a British accent, he says, "Home sweet home." And that was the beginning of the end for me. I told you it was going to deliver.
Yeah, you were not wrong. You also do a weirdly good impression of Spike.
Thank you. It's from years of staring at him and listening to him, I think.
Yeah, probably.
It helps. But I was a little worried the entire time. I was like, am I going too hard?
Never.
But then as soon as it started, I was like, no, I didn't go too hard. I didn't go hard enough.
You did, but
I didn't go hard enough.
You're like, I'll go harder right now.
I will continue to go hard for Spike and Drew.
Hell yeah.
Well, from Wondery, I'm Elena.
And I'm Ash.
And this is The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is episode 16, Inca Mummy Girl.
Ooh.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
We have made it to season 2, episode 4, and it's Inca Mummy Girl.
Inca Mummy Girl. And you know what? I like this episode.
Yeah.
I like it. But I think we were talking earlier, and you said exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It was missing two people.
You can't give us Spike and Drusilla and then immediately rip them out of my hands.
Yeah, like, you can't do that.
I was just right there holding them, and now you took them from me.
I was holding them. I was holding them tightly. I was rocking them.
Yeah, they were my bebés.
They were my bebés, and they're not here anymore. It's true.
I love Drusilla. I need to know everything there is to know about the gal.
But you know what? It was a good episode nonetheless. I think Oz coming is definitely my favorite part of this episode, I'm gonna be honest.
Throughout this entire episode, I was like, someone has to throw Willow a bone. Like,
yeah.
My heart cannot go on watching this girly girl get dragged day after day.
You know, I think they did it almost to the perfect, like, they played Willow's heart shattering and your heart shattering simultaneously right to the edge of almost being too much. Like, it got to the point where you were like, bitches, if you don't give this woman
a love,
her fucking due,
yeah,
I am gonna leave. Like, I'm in an abandoned ship.
Yes.
And they made you right to the edge where you were like, I can't handle it anymore.
We were teetering.
And then they went boop and they handed you Oz. And Oz is such a great character. And I've been waiting for him to show up. Seth Green, he was just like this cute little, I got a pinch of cheek.
I know.
He was adorable.
He looks at Willow.
How she deserves to be looked at.
Exactly. And finally someone is just recognizing her. But we'll get there. There's a lot to get into before that.
There is. Because we open up with Buffy, Willow, and Xander talking about how the next 2 weeks are going to be cultural exchange weeks. Mm. They're going to be doing, there's a dance. We're going to get to that dance. So there's an exchange student program. There's an exhibit at the museum. It's all about cultural exchanges here.
There's a lot happening. There's also a massive fashion in, just to immediately divert us.
Just boom.
Buffy's first outfit, the lavender, like, monochromatic fit with the sunglasses.
Yes.
And then the little bag. I'm convinced that she invented the mini purse.
I subscribe to that
fashion
idea.
In. And you loved Willow's outfit.
Willow was killing it in this. I think she looked great. Her hair looked great. The sunglasses fit her really well, and they were cool and 90s. She just looked, like, really effortless and cool. And Xander looked great, too. I thought the three of them, I was like, solid.
Killing it.
Solid beginning, everybody.
Fashion in all around.
Xander is not feeling this cultural exchange program thing, and Buffy is really annoyed because she's having an exchange student come to her house for 2 weeks.
Which, like, a stranger living with you is a lot.
It's alarming, I would say. I would be alarmed.
Especially now for what we do for a living.
Exactly. Now, they walk into the museum with the rest of the class, and we immediately see Cordelia looking at a photo of her exchange student that will be living with her,
Sven. I immediately thought reindeer.
There you go. And she's talking about how he is 100% Swedish and 100% Lunchable.
TM.
TM. And you know what? I immediately was like, I'm thinking of one Swede. And it is Tobias Forge.
And I was like,
is that who's showing up? It wasn't. Spoiler alert.
The complete opposite,
the complete
one might say.
The opposite of the only Swedish man that I adore. So either way, Cordelia is very excited about this exchange program. A marked difference from the Scoops. But we find out that Buffy's student is actually a boy, and that's all she really knows about him. Xander is now even more upset.
Dun, dun, dun.
He even says, so this person who is living with you for 2 weeks is a man with man parts and says that he better keep those parts to himself, which I'm like, oh, okay, like, relax.
Pump the brakes.
Like, he's not just going to be willy-nilly whipping his parts out all over the place, I'm pretty sure. I think he's like a 14-year-old. Like, calm down.
She also has a mother.
She sure does.
It's okay. Joyce is there.
Yeah, she doesn't live in like a burlesque club. Like, you're going to be okay.
Though, what a fucking shift that would be.
This would be a different show.
Buffy does burlesque.
That's right.
Cher.
Cher. So Buffy suddenly just asks out of nowhere, what is he doing? As she looks over at a student who is literally using a knife to chip away paint off of an ancient artifact.
They say his name is Rodney. It's DJ Pauly D.
Ash immediately was like, what's this DJ Pauly D doing over here?
What is this DJ Pauly D looking child doing?
What is he doing?
Kind of nefarious act.
I think that's a really good comparison. He literally growls at someone who is just watching what he's doing.
Sure does.
Xander informs us that this is Rodney Munson, which immediately made me think of Eddie Munson, which is a great character in Stranger Things. Go watch it. It's awesome.
Rodney is not even Eddie's distant cousin.
Yeah, Rodney
could never.
Could not play D&D with Eddie.
Nor.
But this is when we get a really funny Xanderism, and it goes a little something like this.
It's Rodney Munson. He's God's gift to the bell curve.
The bell curve.
I love that.
Dead.
I don't know why it made me laugh so hard. But Willow seems to have kind of a little soft spot for Rodney, just real quick. And she approaches him, telling him, it's probably a bad idea for you to be, you know, defacing ancient historical items in a museum.
9 out of 10 times.
And he does the classic bad boy thing where he says, oh no, they might kick me out of school. But when she approached him, he seemed to like, he softened right away.
Because he
was like, what do you, and then he was like, oh, hey, Willow. Like immediately. And I was like, girl, you got it episode.
That's the thing. It's showing us that, like, though Xander doesn't realize it,
a lot
Willow
of guys do.
Has got it.
She's got game. And we find out that she's been tutoring Rodney in chemistry.
Although apparently, not very well.
I was going to say not doing a great job, but it's okay. So a guide comes in and informs the students that they can enter the Incan burial chamber. And he says the human sacrifice is about to begin.
Don't say shit like that on a Hellmouth.
I was just, yeah, don't do that.
You're asking for it.
Don't do that.
And then immediately, boom, human sacrifice.
And also don't say human sacrifice is about to begin and then don't immediately do it.
Yeah, no.
Like don't promise things that you're not going to deliver.
I'm saying.
Okay. Guide. So they walk in there and he's explaining that the Incan people chose a 16-year-old girl to be their princess. And immediately the Scoobs are like, this is not going to end well, I have a feeling.
No.
And they say that she was sacrificed and buried alive. So they see her exhibit. She's a actual mummy lying in a tomb, shriveled up.
No covering.
Very well preserved considering there is no seal on the case. And she is just exposed to the oxygen.
Exposed to the 13 elements that Rodney knows about.
All the oxygen is just apparently not eating away at her preserved flesh.
Well, she's got a plate seal.
She does have a plate seal. She's holding a plate in her hands. They call it a seal. And it apparently is a curse to keep her in that tomb. Now, here comes Rodney after everyone leaves, and he pries the fucking seal from her hands and shatters it as he does it. He is not reacting to this the way that you should. First of all, what the fuck are you doing? I don't care if you are the like, ooh, I'm the rebel kid in school. No one is reaching into the tomb of an ancient mummy and prying anything from their hands in a museum.
Not I.
The people just walked out of the room.
It's true.
There's also cameras. I know it.
I wish we could ever find out what Rodney was up to. He's like scratching paint off an artifact.
What are you doing?
Stealing another. It's like, what was your end game here?
Yeah, what kind of mischievous deeds were you up to?
In that tracksuit.
What kind of shenanigans were you planning on creating?
With that blowout.
With flecks of ancient paint and a fucking cursed seal.
I have all the responses.
I gotta know.
Yeah.
So, again, here he comes. He breaks the seal. He's like, oh, shit. And he bends down to grab it still. Like, he's still trying to get the pieces. And the princess reaches
Awakens.
Out and grabs him by the throat, which I don't really blame her at this point.
He broke her dish.
You broke my plate.
You broke my brush.
You broke my brush. And you know what? Now we get the intro music.
Wow.
Rodney's been choked. So at school the next day, while training in the library, Buffy is begging Giles to let her go to the dance. Simultaneously as she's like beating the shit out of the like the big training pillow that he's holding.
That.
He's refusing. He's saying, no, you have more important things you have to worry about. He's holding that bag while she's like punching and kicking it, continuing to beg to go to the dance. He tries to explain that it's going to be hard enough for her to keep her Slayer secret while a student is living in her home, which valid
Truth.
Point, but she will not relent. Finally, before she lands another really hard kick on him, he just agrees. He's like, forget it. It's fine. Whatever.
He's like, please stop.
So she can go and Giles is going to go become acquainted with some ice for his shoulder.
Poor thing.
We find out that Willow and Xander are going to the dance together. And he now wants Buffy to join them now, too. But Xander tells her that there is a distinction.
Yeah.
They are going to the dance together, but he's taking Willow physically to the dance. He's not taking her, he says. That would be different.
Remember high school?
Yeah, exactly. So then they start talking about how that would be a date, romance, flowers,
lips.
And they get into a discussion where Buffy straight up asks Xander, you know, you've been friends with Willow for a long time. You've never thought about her lips.
And let me just interject here. He has thought about her lips. I've seen him thinking about her lips. Season 2, episode 1.
Exactly. He almost kissed her.
You almost kissed those
lips.
Like,
come on.
Don't be playing around
here. And what kills me is Xander once again shatters her heart because Willow is silently walking into the library hearing this discussion. And Xander shatters her heart again by saying that he loves Willow, But she's the kind of girl he doesn't think of her lips because they're best friends.
He's a liar.
And that's it. And again, I say, why did you almost kiss her then?
Exactly.
Answer the question, Xander. So Willow recovers, though you can tell she is very hurt by this conversation.
Yeah, she took an L right there.
She did. And she tells them that Rodney is actually missing. His parents said he never came home last night. And then they realized that they never saw Rodney get back on the bus after the field trip, which...
Who was the chaperone?
They're like, yeah, that's a problem. So Xander jokes and he goes, maybe he awakened the mummy. And they're all like, ah. And then Willow goes, and it rose from its tomb. And Buffy's like, ha, ah, yeah, and attacked him.
And then
they all just sit there.
Ooh.
And the smiles fade as they realize what show they are actually on.
Yeah, and yeah. Where they actually live.
Exactly. So they break into the museum because they realize that, oh shit, that's probably exactly what happened.
It's like, by God, we've cracked the code.
That is definitely what happened. And Willow is trying to find other reasons for Rodney's disappearance. She was like, I don't know, maybe he stepped outside to smoke. And this is a hilarious conversation.
On the other hand, maybe Rodney just stepped out for a smoke.
For 21 hours?
It's addictive, you know.
They find the tomb, and it's the tomb is still containing a mummy and the broken plate. So they're like, weird. But Giles grabs the piece of plate that he finds and he says there are pictographs and pictograms on it. And suddenly out of nowhere, a man jumps out and tries to stab them all, but then just runs away.
A good looking man's.
It was very intense and very quick.
Well, and Xander like hops on his back. So Xander does kind of help out in that moment.
True. And I think at one point Xander's like, did I just save everyone's life?
He sort of did.
And you're like, you kind of did a little bit. Yeah. You're getting good at that.
But I don't like you today, so...
So they are about to run the hell out of there because they're like, I don't know what just happened, but let's get the fuck out of there. So, but then Willow discovers that the mummy in the tomb now has braces. She's like, Giles, how advanced were the Incan people? And he's like, very advanced. And she's like, did they have orthodontia? So, yeah, not that advanced. Pretty advanced, but not that advanced. Uh-uh. It's obviously Rodney, because earlier we saw him when he growled, he had braces.
And they gave us a little bit of, like, his hair, but they made it red.
Yeah, it was like a bog body. Like a bog body.
But he wasn't in a bog.
You know, maybe, I don't know.
He wasn't.
Maybe she had peat inside of her.
Who am I to say?
Who am I to say, really? So you can listen to a Bog Body episode of our show, Morbid, if you want to. It was a cool episode.
Yeah.
So in the library, they are like, what the fuck happened there? And who is that man that tried to kill us? Like, once again, we got to sit here and be like, so what the fuck happened in there?
Let's unpack this.
And Giles is like, I think the answer is on this seal. And he's like, you know, we got to translate them, but it's going to take a long time for me to figure this out. And as this happens, Buffy's like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to pick up my exchange student at the bus station. His name is Impada. And she's like, oh, shit, like, welcome to America. I'm late. So we see Impada standing at the bus station alone.
Adorable.
He is precious.
Adorable boy.
Such an adorable boy.
For 13 seconds.
Yep, super adorable, very tragic. And you see him kind of just standing there alone. It's dark out. And then we hear somebody whispering Impada, and he starts following it. Well, it was the actual mummy. And she just puts her mouth on his mouth and sucks the life right out of him, shriveled.
Pour one out for Impada.
Honestly, because... We hardly knew ye, you know?
But pour one out regardless.
But pour one out. Now, Buffy and the gang show up there 40 minutes late, which, rude.
Yeah.
This kid just showed up in the United States. Come on.
But honestly, welcome to America.
Honestly. And that's exactly what Buffy says. She's like, welcome to America. I'm 40 minutes late. Also, Xander has a great ignorant moment where he asks if they have to speak Spanish in front of Impada because he says he can only say Doritos and Chihuahua.
Canceled. Canceled on impact.
Like, whoa. It's not good. It's as bad as Cordelia telling her Swedish exchange student, drinky.
Yeah. Fruit punchy.
Fruit punchy. Like,
girlfriend.
Yeah. But... while they're at the bus station, Buffy is calling his name, but out walks a beautiful girl in Impada's clothing.
And she saw the TikTok trend of how to make your man's shirt work for you.
Yes. Stunning.
Serve.
There you go. And she says she is Impada, and there must have been some kind of mix-up.
She's like,
she's not a boy.
I'm a girl.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a girl. And, you know, Xander is immediately smitten. And I can't really say I blame him. She has wonderful hair.
And Pod is hot.
And Pod is very hot. So in Buffy's kitchen, they give Impada something to drink and ask her about herself. Immediately, I was like, okay, she's an ancient mummy. She's 500 years old.
Yeah.
And they're like, I have milk and juice. Is juice okay? And she's like, sure. No, that bitch would be like, juice? What is this? Like, she'd be like, what is juice?
They're like, would you like some Sunny D? And she's like, hell yeah, and she's pour like, it out, baby.
Sounds great. And it's like, you are a 500-year-old mummy?
She's like, I don't know, I kind of like Tang.
Like, just question something. Yeah. I would have liked her to be like, what is juice? Like something to be like, you know, and make them say more ignorant shit. Like, it just
agreed.
Give me some. She's a mummy.
Yeah.
Like that. We got to be a little confused. Never is she confused. She knows how to use a bubbla at school.
A bubbla, Ken.
She uses a bubbla. If you don't know what a bubbler is,
it's a water fountain.
It's a water fountain. But if you are from Massachusetts, you say bubbla.
Ick yick.
There you go. We'll get to that later, but she doesn't even ask how to use one. She just knows. I can barely use one, and this 500-year-old mummy knows how to
That's
use one.
Funny.
So again, they give her something to drink. They're kind of asking her about herself. Willow is already really bummed that she's a hot girl because she's like, cool, another person that Xander's just going to be in love with. She explains that she has been to America before. She's toured, actually, which makes sense because she's in an exhibit in a museum. Mm-hmm. She's been to Atlanta, Boston, New York. And she and Xander flirt with each other.
He's ignorant.
He's very ignorant. They have a thing. You can tell she likes him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, he's hot.
She's giggly with him. And that evening in Buffy's room, she tells her that she is so amazed. Like, there's so much here. Like, and Pod is just going on and on. And she seems sweet. She comes off very sweet.
She does.
And I think somewhere in there was a sweet girl, obviously, because this girl was sacrificed at 16.
Yeah.
She was buried alive. Like,
never really had a chance.
We got to give her a little bit of a pass that she's sucking the life out of people now. She just wants a second shot at being a 16-year-old.
To be fair, it's like something called karma.
It kind of is.
Comes around, goes around.
So she tells Buffy she just wants to fit in. She just wants to have a normal life. And Buffy is like, I don't have one of those, but cool. And Buffy tells her, you know what? You'll meet all my friends tomorrow. Like, we'll show you around. We'll make you have a normal life. You can see what's here.
She's the welcoming committee.
While this is happening, we see bodyguard guy standing outside the window in the darkness.
Which, by the way, bodyguard guy is Jacob Black's dad from Twilight.
From Twilight.
What a fucking crossover.
Yeah, when I saw him, I was like, why do I know who that is?
Yeah. And as soon as you said it, I was like, wait a second. And then I Googled and I was like, that's Jacob Black's dad.
Which also, he aged beautifully. He aged like a vampire. He looks great.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That bodyguard is standing outside in the darkness. No good.
Either way.
No good. The next day, Cordelia is with another nightmare man. Wearing a leather jacket.
She has a thing for mouth breathers. Also, was this kid trying out for Grease?
Probably. He definitely looked like a greaser there.
Yeah.
And apparently this guy is the lead singer of a band playing at the dance that evening. We find out that that band is Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Controversial.
But that's like the main, we know what that is because Oz is part of it. It becomes a thing for the whole series.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Cordelia tells him that she will see him later at the dance. Obviously, they have a thing going on, like they're very flirty. And then she yells at Sven, because Sven is just like hovering over there because, oh, I don't know, he's Swedish and an exchange student and you're supposed to be
with
like
him.
Hanging out with him. And he's just standing there. So she turns around and goes, Sven, moments, Nita.
Like, girl, just speak.
Poor Sven.
He gets his.
Yeah, she's not happy with her exchange student. And honestly, he's not happy with his. So we meet Oz, finally. In this moment, we meet Oz.
So cute.
Seth Green. He's the lead guitarist of Dingo Ate My Baby. And he's not impressed by Cordelia.
Not at all.
Because Nightmare Man that's dating Cordelia, the lead singer there, is like, isn't Cordelia hot? And Oz is like, I guess, like, whatever. I'm not really impressed by her.
He's like, you just like every pretty girl that walks and talks.
And he says, she doesn't have to talk.
Which immediately
Nightmare Man. But Oz says he's looking for something else.
It involves a feather boa and the theme of a summer place.
Buffy introduces Impada to Giles, and he immediately hands her the seal, and he's like, can you translate this? Yeah. And they're like, that's awkward. But they come up with a cover story that they're in the archaeology club.
Yeah.
That's why they need to know. She's kind of taken aback by it. And she explains that it's very old and that they should hide it. And after he pushes asking about, quote unquote, this chappy here with the knife, he's like, what's he doing?
What's his deal?
She says she believes it represents a bodyguard. And she says legend has it that he guards the mummy against those that would disturb her. So he's very pleased with this. And Giles makes them leave so he can keep translating himself. Xander offers to stay with Impada for the day. And Willow has this really sad moment where Giles is asking her something and she like isn't paying attention. And he's like, Willow. And she's just watching Xander and Impada walk away. And she says, boy, they really like each other. And it's like,
oh,
you can't shatter my heart again. You can't do it.
They're all such good actors and actresses too. Because like just even like the things that they don't say, but that they do with their faces. It's crazy.
They're great.
And Willow, I'm like, in this episode, I just want to hug you.
Allison Hannigan, she's killing it.
Slay.
Doing the most. So in the library, they're looking at the pieces of the plate. Buffy and Willow are. And Willow's distracted, obviously. Buffy reminds her that Impada is only staying for 2 weeks. Like, she's trying to be good friends. She's like, she'll be gone in 2 weeks. And Willow says this heart-shattering thing.
Yeah. And then Xander can find someone else who's not made to obsess about. At least with you, I knew he didn't have a shot.
Which, and Buffy can't even say anything. In what a position Buffy's in, too. Like, it's just shitty for everybody.
Yeah, especially whereas Xander has liked Buffy in the past, too. Added layer.
But that's exactly what I'm saying, because, like, at the end of it, Willow's like, at least with you, I knew he didn't have a shot.
Yeah.
Like, and you can tell Buffy's like, fuck, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, because what can you say to that?
Not only does Xander really like me, but, like, I shot him down, and you really like him, and, like, there's so many things here that I feel shame for.
This is an onion.
It sucks. But she says she can wait around for him or she can move on. And she's like, I need to, you know, I can do one of two things. And Buffy's like, good for you. And Willow's like, I didn't say I was moving on. Oh. And you're like, oh.
But I did.
I did. We all did.
Oz did.
We made the executive decision for you because Oz is here. So Giles tells Buffy that, because Buffy's been pointing out something to Giles, and he's like, you actually found something. And he says that Rodney's killer might be the mummy. So the mummy, he says, feeds on the life force of a person, basically freeze-drying them a bit.
Ooh.
Adorable.
Hot.
So Xander and Impada had taken to the bleachers for lunch, and he introduces her to Twinkies, which is very American.
Elena had such a moment watching that.
I did. I haven't had a Twinkie in a long time, and I would like one.
Okay.
I don't remember the last time I had one.
I'll make it happen.
It's been years and years.
It's been 84 years
since I had a Twinkie. But they're sitting there shoving the Twinkie, and I mean shoving the Twinkies in their mouths. And suddenly the man with the knife shows up. Jacob Black's dad shows up, and he's yelling at Xander that he wants the seal. And then he sees Impada and clearly knows her, and he says, it's you. But they get away before he can attack them. They end up back at the library again, where Giles makes her tea, and pot of tea because British. Because
she's stressed, and he's like, here, this will cure your woes. Like,
British. So they explain what's happening to her, and this is when Xander almost blows their cover because of his dick. Essentially.
I thought you misspoke, and then I looked at your face, and I immediately knew you had not.
No, I was being real. He's about to tell her what is actually going on, and all of them look at him like, are you fucking kidding me? You met her 12 hours ago, my dude.
Barely.
So he does recover, thankfully, but he says this.
We're in the crime club, which is kind of like the chess club, only with crime and no chess.
Bro.
crime club.
I can't.
So she is adamant that they destroy that seal. And she rushes out of the library into the hallway.
It's kind of something that it really took them that long to realize she was who she was. Because immediately she's like, get rid of it. Hide it.
Go away.
Throw it out the window.
It's bad. I'd be like, what's going on? You might be the mummy, my friend.
I'd be like, my mummy senses are tingling.
Are you the Incan mummy?
Yay. I got a question.
But he follows her out there, Xander does. And he tries to calm her down. But she says she doesn't want to keep doing this. She doesn't want them investigating this. She doesn't want to be in danger. And she just wants a normal life. She just keeps pointing that out. I just want a normal life, which is sad.
Yeah.
Willow comes out and she pulls Xander aside. This is when Impada has miraculously, as a 500-year-old mummy, just taken to the bubbler right away.
She gets it.
Willow says, you should ask Impada to the dance. Break my heart again.
What a good friend.
Yeah. And he says, you're my best friend. And then walks away to ask her. And Willow just goes, I know.
Shut up, Xander.
Fucking A.
God, you're so unaware.
You're so dumb. But in the library, Buffy and Giles are theorizing about the seal, what it means, what they should do about it. They decide to meet at the museum later after it closes to find the other pieces and figure out what's going on. She now can't go to the dance, even though he had told her he could. Now, Xander does ask Impada, and she agrees. She likes him. He likes her. It's very clear. And especially once she tells him that she is not a praying mantis. That's when, like, he really... Because he literally asks her. He's like, are you a praying mantis?
Call back.
I was like, ooh, call back to season one. But she goes into the girls' room, and she's very saucy, very spicy as she's going in there.
She is.
She's like, I'm going somewhere where you can't follow me. And then she's like, the girls' room.
Doesn't she like, say, like... I will return to you.
Which I was like, I just want to say that now whenever I'm going somewhere.
Instead of saying,
I'll be right back. I will return to you.
Let's instate
right?
that.
Let's make it fancy. Let's make it mummy.
Ready? That's my gavel.
We're going to make it mummy. So I'm also very confused why she can read the girl's room and why she knows what a girl's room is. But you know what? Belief suspended.
Yeah. I also just have to say... The girls' room.
With Amanda.
Yes.
So she does go into the girls' room and Knife Guy is there. Bodyguard.
Not great.
Jacob Black's dad. He shows
up. He's really hot close up.
The Ash was feeling it.
I was.
But she says, I beg you, do not kill me. And he's like, no, like, I have to. Like,
it's my duty.
I literally have to. You're a mummy, and I was supposed to keep you in that tomb.
And you're sacrificing young boys left and right.
Yeah, she was like, she explains that she's innocent. And he's like, yeah, the people you're attacking are innocent. So, like, he's on our side. He's on everybody's side. But he's like, you have to die now. And he attacks her, but she gets the best of him immediately. Like, he literally lunges with the knife, and she just breaks his arm and is like, no.
Yeah.
And she sucks the life out of him. Takes no time, no effort whatsoever on her part. None.
But his life force was clearly wonderful.
Because she emerges
a star.
She's got a full face of makeup now.
A star is born.
Her hair has become even more voluminous. And Xander notices. He's like, whoa, girl, you were just putting on lipstick.
She put the color back in her cheeks.
She looks great. So we see Impada that night getting dressed up for the evening, for the dance.
And she looks beautiful.
She looks beautiful.
I love her outfit.
Yeah, she looks great. Buffy offers to help her unpack her bags. She finds men's underwear in it, but she doesn't say anything. She's just confused. And she tells her she isn't going to the dance because she has crime club stuff to do. And they talk about Xander and how they must like each other. And Impada is acting sweet, telling Buffy that she does like Xander and that he makes her happy. And Then she says, you know what, Buffy, you remind me of an Incan princess. And Buffy's like, wow. And she starts saying who the Incan princess is. And Buffy's realizing that their lives are very parallel. The Incan princess was chosen at 16 out of everyone in her generation to be a sacrifice.
Oy.
And as she goes to open a trunk, Buffy, we see Impada's dead, shriveled body, the real Impada. But she closes it before
the real
Buffy.
Impada, please stand up.
I knew that was coming. Will the real Impada please stand up? He can't. He is dead.
Dead as a doornail.
He is a mummy. So we see it. Me and you and all of you, we saw it. But she locks it too before Buffy can see it. So Xander shows up at Buffy's house to pick up Impada. He's dressed as someone from Italy, I guess. Leone? Yeah.
Leone, he says.
He tells her it's just Impada and him because Buffy's like, where's Willow? And Willow's going alone. He nearly shits his pants over Impada when she comes down the stairs. And honestly, so does Joyce.
Honestly, so did I.
So did Ash.
She looks great.
Xander tells Buffy to be careful as he leaves. And Buffy's like, you look great.
Yeah,
a very cute moment.
It's sweet.
It is. It's sweet.
It's very like brotherly, sisterly in a weird way.
It is. Yeah. Very much. Because that's how Buffy feels about him.
Right.
Now, Giles shows up eventually at her house, which like, I want to live in a world where Giles shows up at my house.
We all know that to be the truth.
Because when she opened that door and he just walks in, tweed magic. I was like, where do I sign up for this delivery service? Like, what's going on?
I don't know if you would have to be the chosen one.
I would. I can be that if he needs
you
me to be that.
You can't add that to your plate.
I know,
plate,
I don't have time for
to your
that.
Sealed
I really
plate.
Don't. Maybe later. We'll see. So Giles shows up and he informs Buffy that they found the bodyguard and he was mummified in the girl's bathroom. So Giles says he looked at the seal again and Impada had translated it wrong to them. That bodyguard was there to keep her in the tomb, not to make sure people don't attack her. So she shows him the trunks that Impada has and how there's like men's clothing in there. And then they bust open that big trunk and they find the real Impada who can't stand up.
I'm so mad at you. I wanted to say
and
it.
And she is clearly the mummy. So they're like, oh, shit. Because Buffy's like, what kind of girl? And I love she says it very casually. What kind of girl travels with a 500-year-old mummy in a trunk?
Not many. Not many.
So at the Bronze, where the dance is, we hear Dingoes Ate My Baby playing.
They're Oz's pretty all band. Right.
There's something.
You don't like the man's voice.
I really don't like his voice.
You are very, very particular with voices.
Very particular.
I thought it was a good voice. It's not the guy on stage singing at all.
No. And I just, it's not my, yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Not your
I don't
jam.
Like it. It's not
it's
my
okay.
jam.
That's
but
okay.
Dingo Ate My Baby is fine. So we get a lot of shots and moments of Dingoes Ate My Baby. Like lots of close-ups, lots of moments of them like jamming out. They're going to be important. Everyone is dressed up. It's basically like you dress up as the culture that your exchange student is, maybe?
I don't know, though, because not everybody has an exchange student. So
yeah,
I think it's
true.
Just like you dress
you
up like
a
different culture. It's a party that could never happen today.
I was just going to say, it's a very 90s party.
Yeah.
But everyone's dressed up. Willow is dressed in full Inuit gear. Like
yes.
Full.
Yep.
With a spear and everything.
She looks like if anybody has seen Urban Legend, it's that coat.
Yeah, it's the same coat that the killer is wearing. But Cordelia is being very mean to Sven still.
And Cordelia, I don't know if she's dressed like a certain kind of Barbie, because if you guys have seen Never Been Kissed,
yes.
The three girls that dress up like Barbies, Cordelia's wearing the exact same outfit as one of them.
I think she's just dressed Hawaiian.
Yeah. So Malibu Barbie then.
Yeah, so I think like she was dressed just Hawaiian, but that's like Malibu Barbie.
Mm. It's except, the exact
except
outfit
Malibu
though.
Is
yeah, not
California,
Hawaii, but you know.
But you know, whatever. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
And I want to post
right.
side by side. It's
you're
wild.
Right. It is the same outfit.
Thanks.
But she's being mean to Sven still.
Yeah, she's being
and this is when
deek.
She does the get punchy, you fruit drinky.
Terrible.
Oof.
You can tell. I'm like,
he's just
you're
silent.
Pushing him.
Yeah.
And he's about to break.
And he's a big dude. Like, it's not good.
Yeah.
So Willow sees Xander and Impada coming and wonders out loud if she should have worn something sexy.
No.
And I'm like, no, Willow, you
be you.
You. You are sexy
yeah.
all the time.
Always.
Your big brains.
Even when you eat
sexy.
Raisins at the bar, Willow.
Hell yeah. Xander is mean. He calls her Snug. He's like, you look snug. Because Impata is nice, and she's like, you look great. Like, you look really, like, what is she? Authentic.
Yeah, authentic, exactly.
And she's like, thank you. And then Sandra's like, you look snug.
Yeah, and it's the tone, and it's the way that he says it. Because it would have been one thing if he was like, oh, you look snug, Willow. Yeah. But he's like, he says it kind of like...
snug, like whatever.
What is that?
And like, it's like, you know what, Xander? You know.
Of course he does.
You know how she feels. Watch your fucking tone. It's not what you say, it's how you say it, Xander.
That's what we're telling you, boy.
And again, I was mad about it. So Impata and Xander dance, and Willow is sad and alone. But then... Oz looks out into the crowd and asks Cordelia's idiot who that girl is.
Who's that girl?
Now, Cordelia's idiot thinks that he is talking about Impata, but Oz is like, no, the girl dressed in the Inuit costume. He loves Willow.
And it makes sense because gingers love gingers.
Not all the time, but you know what? Sometimes.
But in this case, gingers,
yes.
Love gingers.
He loves Willow. You can see it in his face. He's like, it stars.
I got butterflies.
It stars immediately.
I did.
And at this point, Impata and Xander almost kiss, but she runs away because she realizes that she is starting to shrivel again. Yeah, she needs to feed.
That's the thing. I'm like, girly girl, you're kind of a vampire.
Yeah, you can't maintain this.
No.
It's no good. But they almost kiss, like, and like actually. Like, they like each other.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
Definitely.
Now, Giles and Buffy are driving to the Bronze, and Buffy is making fun of Giles's car and saying, when are you going to get a grown-up car?
Which, like, solid question, because that car is clunk-a-lunkin.
But Giles suddenly realizes that they actually need to reassemble the seal. He's like, I got it. We need to reassemble it because that's how we'll trap her.
Mm-hmm.
Now he drops Buffy off at the Bronze and he's like, I'm going to go to the museum myself and put it together. It is puzzle time for Giles.
He's excited.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Now we see Impata, she's backstage. She has taken Jonathan, who Jonathan will come back. Jonathan isn't done.
You mean Doyle.
Doyle from Gilmore Girls, Danny Strong. We love Danny Strong.
I was shook.
Danny Strong is like a very, like, he's like a director. He's an actor. Like, Danny Strong is doing it.
He's strong.
He's strong.
Yeah.
He's got lots of strength.
I was so excited to see him in Buffy.
And we love him.
He's so great, though. I know he'll die the most tragic death. My wooden stake stab. He will die a terrible death.
I'm not
going to
tell you if that's a great stab or a bad stab, but
that's
it's
fine.
A stab.
That's my stab.
But Xander interrupts them before they kiss because Impata was preying on poor Jonathan. She was just going to suck the life out of him by seducing him.
Yeah.
And Jonathan even says, like, aren't you here with Xander?
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to be nice.
He was just confused.
But Impata is very upset and tells him that she just doesn't deserve him to Xander. And she's conflicted because she's turning back into a mummy and she kind of needs to feed, but she likes Xander. It's the classic teen gal issue.
Yeah.
You're shriveling into the 500-year-old mummy that you truly are.
Yeah.
You need to feed on someone's life force.
Ugh.
But the only one near you is the guy you have a crushy-washy on.
Do you remember those days?
I remember those days.
Ugh, it was tough.
You know?
It was tough out there in those streets.
It was tough. But you know what? My recommendation to you is just always feed.
Yeah. Just
always feed.
Always be eaten.
Boys will come and go, but flesh, that's forever.
Unless you don't feed.
Then it shrivels. So there you go.
That was How to Be a Mummy with Ash and Elena.
So yeah, she's upset. She's conflicted. They kiss. It's a very weird kiss. At first, they're just jamming their mouths at each other. And I was like, what's happening?
They're 17.
Yeah, it's very 17. I was like, oh. And then they got the hang of it. And I was like, okay.
Oh, you're there, okay. You go. There you go.
There you go. You got it.
You know, the first kiss, though, is someone that you really like. And you're like, in your brain, you're like, I'm fucking this whole thing up. Like, what is my mouth doing right now? And then you are like, oh, just shut up and do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Was your first kiss was weird, right? I think I remember this story.
My first kiss is a sad story.
Was it?
Yeah, I'll tell it.
I was like, you don't need to tell it.
No. My first kiss was truth or dare, and it was these girls that knew I really liked this boy, and I had just eaten a ham and Dijon mustard sandwich, so my breath didn't smell great, all right? And maybe back then I was drinking a lot of coffee, and my teeth weren't the greatest. So I kissed that boy and I was so over the moon. And then he started telling everyone at summer camp that I had stinky breath and yellow teeth.
Wow. That
was my first kiss.
Those are a bunch of pieces of shit.
Fuck you, Cam Conley.
Yeah, fuck you guys. And fuck those girls.
They were jealous of me.
Yeah, of course
they
were. And
I know that now.
Of course they were.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Fuck those people.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a terrible first kiss. I'm sorry.
I know. It shouldn't count though because it was truth or dare.
Yeah, that really doesn't count.
Does the next one not count either? The next one is a story I'm not sharing.
All right, so there you go.
I'll just tell you that the next one took place in front of a dumpster.
Wow.
Actually.
Wow.
But it was good. It was good.
My first kiss was with a boy I really, really liked named Tim. And yeah.
Fuck you, Tim.
Yeah, Tim was kind of an ass. But honestly, I shouldn't say that. Tim, you were an ass, but you redeemed yourself later. You were nice.
Okay,
later.
All right, yeah, all right.
Don't worry about it. Tim is fine.
Cam didn't. So continue to
there you go. Bleh. Yeah, Tim was fine, but it was snowing and I said, "I'm cold." And you want to know what this kid with this 16-year-old kid's
shit. Did he have game?
Want to know what his response
Tim
was?
Tim said, "Let me warm you up.
I know a way to warm you up." And then he did it.
Oh my gosh.
That was my first kiss. When it was snowing with a boy I really liked. I will say that's like the one like teen thing that I was like, oof, I did that right.
That's so beautiful. You did do that right.
I
wish my first kiss had not been truth or dare because then the rest of that summer we all just dared each other to kiss each other.
Yeah,
and I ended up kissing so many weird boys.
Oh, really?
Terrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
But it was summer going into eighth grade. So then I really went into eighth grade, like knowing the lay of the land.
You were like, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
That's great.
But, and that was kissing talk.
I felt like, you know, this was a very awkward kiss, but it turned into a cute one. So you're like, okay, it turned into a cute one. And then it slowly morphed into her actually sucking the life out of him. So it was like, ooh.
Mm, yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's a rough kiss. That's kind of like yours. It's a rough kiss.
Yeah.
But she starts sucking the life out of him.
That's what I should have
truly.
Done.
And you know, truly. And so this is happening and you see his eyes start going wide and he like can't breathe. And then in the olden days, we had to wait for the commercial break to see if they were going to murder Xander because they murder people on the show like Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
so she luckily when we came back from commercial break, she had stopped.
If you watch on Amazon, like the Amazon app, you get like 3 seconds though of like just black and you're like, all right.
You're like, what
I can't
happened?
Imagine a full ass commercial.
Yeah,
break.
It wasn't great. But she stops. She lets him drop to the ground. But he's like breathless and like can barely breathe.
She took a little life.
She escapes and Buffy tells Willow that Impada is a mummy, like breaks the news very quickly, and they go off to find Xander. And as they leave, Oz is walking up and tries to get Willow's attention. And when they leave, he looks off at her and says this. And the way he says it is just like, melt my heart.
Who is that girl?
Who's that girl?
And he's just like, who is that girl?
Like
he's
just going.
I'm like, get her.
Mesmerize somebody. Go get her.
He loves her so much. But they find Xander out of breath on the floor backstage.
Half dead.
And they're like, hey, Impada's a mummy. We'll tell you about it in the car. And they just get him to the car. So Giles, we watch him frantically trying to put the seal together. He's doing a great job. Very proud of him. Puzzle master. He has one more piece left. And Impada creeps around the corner.
And smashes it.
And she attacks Giles. She breaks the seal apart. She chokes him, unconscious.
Elena got irrationally angry.
I was not pleased. I was like, Impada, you have lost all goodwill.
Get your filthy paws off of my tweed magician.
You get the fuck out of here, Impada. And then she chokes him unconscious. conscious and then throws him into her tomb, which I was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
She's wilding out.
Luckily, Buffy shows up and she just starts fighting her immediately. She's like, bitch, I'm taking you out. And they have like a quick little back and forth. But
yeah, they have. It's like the brutal Buffy banter.
It is.
And I love that Impada goes, you are not a normal girl.
You are not a normal girl. And Buffy goes, and you are?
Yeah.
I love that. So they have a good fight. Unfortunately, Buffy does end up thrown on top of Giles in the tomb. And she closes the lid. Not great. Willow runs in to help. She just runs right into the fray. Impada chokes Willow, is holding her up by her throat. Xander comes in and demands that she let her go. Xander always comes through in the end.
Always redeems himself.
He always comes through for Willow, but I'm like, you
just love her. You do love her.
Just love her. Just love her, man.
But don't get away from her because that's Oz.
Yeah,
that's Oz coming for you, woman.
That's Oz's territory now. But yeah, Xander makes her drop. He's like, if you're going to feed on anyone, you're going to feed on me. And he's like, can you do it? And he offers himself up as a sacrifice in place of Willow. And Impada grabs him and is like, yeah, I can, because she doesn't give a shit. But Buffy breaks out of the tomb at the last second and pulls Impada off of him.
But not Oliver.
Leaves her arm still attached to Xander. Because Impada has now shriveled totally back into the mummy and just turns into like dusty, musty, crustiness.
My mummy dust.
Speaking of
Tobias.
We'll bring Tobias to any episode that we can.
Please don't file a restraining order.
Yeah, please don't. We just talk about you a lot. But either way, she shriveled up. She fell to the floor. She's a mummy again. That's the end of that. Like, they were just like, well, that fixed that.
Bye.
Because we're at the next day now. And the next day, Xander is just like, wow, that was a bummer that my girlfriend was a mummy and that I have the worst taste in women ever. And he's talking to Buffy, so he goes, present company excluded.
Yeah, that was nice of him.
It was.
Also, I have my first fashion out with Buffy. Those shoes are criminal.
Yeah, you hated those shoes.
Fucking criminal. Hated if you them. Zoom in on them, they're like weird clogs, but not clogs. They're purple. They're fucking terrible.
It was the 90s.
No, that not even the 90s is an excuse for that.
I'm just saying. It was a different time. But Buffy explains that Impada wasn't evil to begin with. She just turned evil because of what was done to her and what was taken from her, which, not a bad point.
But at the same time, like my good girl Tatiana says, choices.
It's true, choices. You have to live with those choices. Mm. Now, she's like, she had her life taken from her as a teen, and you know, but they end on this cute moment where Buffy says, she could say that about her, but she says she's lucky because Xander had brought her back to life when her life was taken. And they kind of look at each other and it's like this cute little moment.
Yeah.
And then it just fades to black.
The end.
What I'm excited about is give me more Oz, give me more Spike and Drew.
Yes. So I gave you my wooden stake stab. Yeah. That honestly was my real wooden stake stab.
Yeah.
My Ask the Watcher, is Xander going to be weird about Oz liking Willow? Is he going to feel some like weird sense of like, I don't want to say ownership, but it's for lack of a better word.
So without giving a spoiler, I will say, would you be weird if you were Xander?
What? That's not a fucking answer. I don't know because I'm not Xander and I never have been. Try again.
I don't want to spoil it.
I don't want to spoil. Give me something a little better. I don't know what you
mean. So here's the thing. Xander's always weird. And I feel like he's always going to be territorial about Buffy and Willow. And he's always going to be protective.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's just who he is.
Yeah.
So I think it would be strange if he wasn't.
All right. Thanks.
But I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying it would be strange if he wasn't.
Okay.
Wouldn't it?
Yep. Yep, it would.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, sure would.
I don't know, man. It's late.
It's real late. Well, we will see you back for season 2, episode 5.
And it is called
Reptile Boy. And it looks like I'm not really going to like it that much. Either way, if the apocalypse comes,
beat me.
The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is hosted and executive produced by us, Ash Kelly and Elena Urquhart. Our associate producer is Avery Siegel. Chris Kirk is our post-producer. Music supervisor is Scott Velasquez. And our original theme song was written and performed by Nerf Herder. For Wondery, Emily Feld is our senior producer. Executive producers are Dave Easton, Stephanie Jens, and Marsha Louie.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.